Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order. It's 5 p.m. We have many things to do. Let me start out by saying on your desk there are copies of the Expanded Budget Capital Finance Committee action summary for the first three meetings, and there's also a resolution concerning scheduling a public hearing on the 2010 county budget and the 2010 to 2014 Tompkins County Capital Program. And I would like someone to move that, and let's have a little discussion. Will, is there a second? Martha, any questions or comments? Let me just say it's Wednesday, November 4th, 2009 at 7 p.m. In the evening thereof, concerning the review of the tentative 2010 county budget.
So is this kind of the final chance for the public to weigh in on what we've come up?
I believe so.
Okay.
Martha?
And that's because of the general election, that's why we're meeting that night at 5, right?
5:30.
So, because I heard some people say, you know, this room is so terrible for public, you know, if there's a lot of public. But if we're meeting here that night, I mean...
Right.
That's
the plan.
Okay.
On Wednesday the 4th. Any other questions or comments? All in favor of doing this? Raise your hand. Opposed, Penny? Thank you. Passes unanimously, I believe. Mike, you voted for it, right?
I did.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let me also tell you that there are two items on your desk. A pink sheet from Julia Hughes, also a yellow sheet from the county clerk, and a yellow sheet from personnel.
To replace
pages that you have in your big book. Tonight we have many things to deal with, and the only other thing I want to say is that Paul is here this evening as a deputy county administrator. The county administrator is at a function in Syracuse, a close friend of his in the Onondaga County government, retired, and he's a part of the festivities. You know, I believe he's in a video and some other things for his friend. So Paula is representing the administration tonight. Kevin is here, and Norman. So we'll get right to the action, Department of Assessment. And all I would like from both of you is say your first and last name in the microphone, and you're on.
Coggin.
You know, just your first and last name and what department,
yeah.
And that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. And
my name is Jay Franklin.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Pages. The pages are... 14 in the OCR, 90 in the big book, the white book.
So can I start?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
You're on.
All right. I just wanted to inform you that about a month ago or so, I turned in a letter to the county administrator stating my intention of retiring effective of October 30th of this year. So... obviously, I'm not going to be here when this budget goes into effect. However, Jay had a lion's share of preparing this, and I think it would be the most appropriate if he presents the budget to you. Thank you.
Thank you. I just touch on a couple things of what our office does. I'm sure all of you are in touch with us constantly, so you know some of the things we do, but there are some things that we do behind the scenes. We have four sections in our office. The main, most visible one is our appraisal section. Their main duty is to value all property within all of the municipalities in Tompkins County for the levy of real property taxes. We answer inquiries regarding the market value, sales, inventory, deeds that were filed, real property tax exemptions from pretty much everybody in the county. property owners, the professional real estate community, realtors, surveyors, attorneys, title companies. We talked to municipal officials, the tax collectors, the town boards, the village boards, state officials, and of course, we get inquiries from y'all. And the public in general, we can't just say property owners. We have a lot of people coming to our office looking for property to purchase or looking for information about rental properties. One thing that I'm sure most of you do not know that we do is investigate and process dog damage claims. This is a holdover from the old town law that when a dog injures or kills a farm animal, we have to go out to verify that, yes, it was done by a dog. In our training as real property appraisers, we somehow have that thrown in as well. And we have to determine the value of that animal and file that claim with David for payment.
I have to go out and find the harbor of the unlicensed dog, technically, according to the agricultural markets law.
There's nothing like having the damage done on a Friday night and getting the call on Monday morning to come out and inspect the garbage bag. But that's just part of our duty. Another thing we do is prepare memorandums and certificate of apportionment so that when a part of a parcel sells, the parties know which part of the tax bills they're responsible to pay. Our ARPIS support unit, it's our office staff. They typically handle all of the real property tax exemptions. They produce the tax rolls and bills so that local government and school districts have a little additional funding through the real property tax. What I like to think is a very people-friendly office. You come right in, within 5 minutes, you'll be able to search for all the information that we have available in our office. They maintain all of our records, our permanent records in our office, and of course they assist in the payroll and the budget preparation. Our tax map section, we have one tax mapper on staff, and we do contract with the county's GIS unit for some of the services. The real property tax boundaries are very essential, not just in our office, but throughout county as a whole, whether it's through planning, through emergency response, and not just at the county, but the cities and the towns as well use that information. So that's very important to have that tax parcel boundary layer correct. So they'll take a look at all legal documents that are filed at the clerk's office. Now we have a great system with the county clerk. Within hours or a day, we can see that image at our desk without having to transfer all of the paper that used to happen. They correct the tax maps, transfer that on to our appraisers so they can go ahead and process the real property transactions. Our administrative section management, we approve or deny all real property tax exemption. We value the commercial properties, including the IDA and not-for-profits, file the tentative and final assessment rolls. Unique to Tompkins County is Valeria acts as our sole assessor and also acts as the director of real property tax services. If you go to any other county, there's that has the town assessors. There's still a county department of real property tax services whose main duty is to issue tax roll corrections and to file those rolls and bills. As you know from last meeting, we prepare footings, the final assessment roll, and equalization rates. And most of my job preparing information to the multitude of people who are requesting data and reports that we have. We participate in the litigation of certiorari proceedings. That's when a commercial property owner files or contesting their assessment. And of course, we maintain our internet website, which I think is one of the most active websites within the county, which has really allowed us to concentrate on work rather than answering some of the public inquiries where the public, through all hours of the day, can go and view our assessment data. Here's a little history of where our full-time equivalents have come from the last 9 years. In 2000, we did a countywide revaluation. We were really built up for that. We were at 19 full-time equivalents. We've kind of, through attrition and worked our way down through efficiencies that we've gained through technology. Right now, as it stands, through the county administrator's recommended budget, we're at 13 full-time equivalents. And we were formed back in 1970 with about half of the parcels of real property that we have right now. And we had 11.5 full-time equivalents at that time back in 1970. 9 full-time and 5 part-time positions. So through that, we've been able to decrease our staffing level by those 6 individuals, or we will be decreasing our staffing level by those 6 individuals, which is 32%. But yet we've increased the level of service that we provide to the residents of Tompkins County. Most people may not consider this a service, but the annual reassessment program is a benefit to the property owners in the county by distributing the taxes equitably according to the ad valorem tax. We've expanded our business hours. Now we're open from 8 to 4:30, and of course our website. So we're really open 24 hours a day. Here's our appropriations over the last couple of years. You can see they were increasing up to 2008, which is when we were on the triennial revaluation cycle. And we've been able to bring that local cost, that local share, down with the switch to the annual reassessment program. And going back to 2001, exclusive of fringe costs, we are only increased our budget by $28,773. And that's through that attrition of 6 staff. Our highlights for this last year, we successfully completed the first year of our 6-year annual reassessment program. Therefore, we qualify for $150,000 of maintenance aid. We're one of only 19 assessing jurisdictions in the state to receive the Excellence in Assessing Award all 11 years that it was given. We've completed the development of an in-house tax bill printing program, thereby saving us money in that we're not in the red anymore when we go to print town and county school tax bills for the small number of school districts we do, and village tax bills. We're actually about even right now. But just having that local control of being able to tweak a one word on a tax bill rather than sending it to our vendor and hopefully getting a response in about a day has just been the most beneficial aspect of that, in my opinion. We've started our first year cycle of a 3-year data update campaign to verify all inventory from the public right-of-way. And we've also converted our public assessment interface software to an SQL database. Therefore, our data is live online. When we take a new image, a new sketch, it's automatically updated. We don't have to go through a complicated backup procedure to keep that information updated. Our pressure points, we're dealing with them right now. With an increasing reliance on the real property tax as a source of revenue, the property owners in the county are demanding that our values are held more accountable than what they may have been in the past. And with the increased amount of data on the internet, property owners are demanding more of our services. You know, a lot of times they hear the real estate market is down 45% in Phoenix, so they're wondering why we're not dropping our values here. Well, it's also about 95 in Phoenix right now, so I wish we could translate over the weather, maybe not with the real estate market. But over the last 5 years, for the schools that we do print, those levies have gone up about 4%. The town levies, on average, about 7-8%. There's a couple municipalities out there that have doubled their taxes in those 5 years period, while the county levy has held the same to about 4%. Overall, there's about $191 million generated by the local real property tax within the county. As that number goes up, people look to reduce that tax bill on their own by contesting their value. And we have to make sure that our values are correct in order to distribute that tax burden equitably. You know, even though the assessor is not involved in the levy, extension, collection, or enforcement of the real property taxes, we're the one person that they come to complain to. Or maybe not the one person, but we're one of the first. I'm sure as you go to the store, you'll get a little bit of that yourself. Our 2010 budget proposal, we've requested what our target was. We had two over-target requests, and neither were funded. We requested around $919,000 in local share, and we were approved for around $838,000. Our two over-target requests, one is training. Unlike other town assessing jurisdictions where the assessors reimburse for their continuing education credits, in Tompkins County, that's not the case. Only the title of assessor is reimbursed for their continuing education. So we're penalized by only having one person in that title. For instance, the county of Oswego has 25 individuals that have the title of assessor, and each one is reimbursable by the state for their continuing education. For our five appraisers and two other valuation staff we have, their continuing ed is not reimbursed. So we've asked for that as an over-target request. Failure to approve that could jeopardize their appraisal licenses for the five real property staff who has their certified license from the state. Our other over-target request was a real property appraiser position. This position became available with the retirement and loss of Valeria. So the workload of this RPA is going to have to be distributed amongst the existing valuation staff within our office. And another thing that we did was reduce all discretionary spending within our budget. We've been picked through the prior years. Fortunate or unfortunate, the former county administrator developed our budget, knew our budget extensively, and knew where he could pick those little apples that were out in there. So we're pretty much bare bones looking forward to our 2010 budget. Any questions?
Will.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jay. I realized we were dealing with dogs. That's one aspect of your office, which never fails to amaze. You mentioned the fact that other communities have many more people who are designated as assessors and therefore are eligible for reimbursement. Could that issue be dealt with by changing titles? Would we have that capacity?
I don't think that could, because there's under a consolidated assessment office, we only have one assessor.
Okay.
And it is that title of assessor that
and
is
defined
reimbursable.
By it's defined by state law.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
I turned my head. I wasn't sure. I'm going to go with Pam and then Martha.
It's also to do with that. The state loves to tout Tompkins County as the model for reformed assessment process, and they don't see the fallacy in this and penalizing you for having one assessor. I mean, have you talked to the state about this?
Yeah, so when Valeria was the president of the County Directors Association, she did try to push that forward, and it just kind of fell on deaf ears. I think the main reason is to qualify real property appraisers in that would open up a huge floodgate of expense for New York State. When you have the city of New York with a million parcels, And, you know, there's one assessor staff and there's real property appraisers in there as well.
But even though you but I mean, the fact that we have one centralized assessor's department, I mean, that is very unique in New York State. So if that was one of the main criteria for them extending it beyond just the assessor, it seems to me that they wouldn't have a floodgate of other possibilities. But I'm sorry, that's
if other counties would consolidate, then
well, they might, and that would they would want that.
Right. Then it wouldn't be an issue. But unfortunately, that's the state doesn't really have much interest in real property taxation. That's the problem. They don't benefit from it. It's locally raised, locally spent. So there you go.
Martha, and then Mike, and then Carol.
Okay. Well, that was kind of my question too. So in other words, they also don't. But it seems like they're always looking for ways to save money from their pockets. So it might be worth. I mean, there are a lot of issues we have that we've taken to the state. So I don't know if this one's a big enough one. But well, anyway. But your presentation answered the questions I had written down before the meeting. But I do want to. I'm allowed to make one statement. Thank you, Valeria, for your years of service and. October 30th.
Yeah.
Wow. So, congratulations. I think you already have a plane ticket somewhere, don't you? You look like that's the look on your face. Thank you, Valeria.
Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay, and thank you, Valeria. You didn't say specifically, but I think I interpreted it in your comments that you can live with the county administrator's recommendation.
Correct. Based upon where the current real estate market is, it seems to be leveling off. We can manage through a year or two. If the real estate market takes off one way or the other, you know, we may be coming back to you in the 2011 budget.
Okay.
But for this year, we can manage.
Thanks.
Thank you. Carol.
Yeah, I have two questions. One is about the training. How did the policy evolve that we don't pay for, you know, who sets the policy about sending people for training, and do we give people time, paid time, to go and take the training even though they have to do it at their own expense?
Well, currently we do pay for the training of our valuation staff. Our real property appraisers act as the local town assessor. They do all of the work except for signing the roll. So while there's no continued education requirement per se from the state, we've always had the same continuing education requirement for our appraisers as the state has for the assessor. They do the same job, they're just in different titles. So we have had that reimbursement, and it's very important to stay up to date on different appraisal trends, on what's happening in the real estate market, the changes in the law, changes in building styles.
So do we give the people the time to take the training?
Yeah, so okay. we've always had that, okay. So the okay. time and the money's there.
And then unless you were going to comment.
No, I just, for us, I think the investment, we are asking for $7,000, right? That investment pays quite a dividend because the real property appraisers, if they have their licensing, they have their qualifications and everything, that gives a strength to us in fact that we are just as well qualified as the appraisers in a private sector. So it's kind of leveraging. And because of that, that's why we have so few grievances compared to a large assessing unit. That's why we have such few certiorarys, which is a very expensive procedure, as you know. So I think in terms of the investment pays quite a bit of dividends, in my opinion. It did over all the 23 years that I'm doing this. And we could see that. So I'm the only, and Jay said, yes, we can survive with the 13 currently, I mean, for the coming year, perhaps for the following year as well. But the only thing that we are asking basically as over target, and we are really, really serious of our request in that, if it's all possible, to preserve the training, even if it's not fully funded as we are asking, but to some extent that we can still continue very frugally but keep up with the changes and requirements of valuation.
Okay, thanks. And then I have a question that's a little bit more general about assessment. Is it premature to be giving us any feedback on where you might have seen general valuations going as of that July date that we use to set next year's assessments? It's not pertinent to your specific budget for next year in your department, but it might be pertinent to where we see the trend going in general.
But we're still reviewing and analyzing the sales that we have out there up through the July 1 date and what's closed a little bit after, because it may have come under contract before that July 1 date. Overall, we're not looking at any major trends. We're not seeing the 10 to 15% appreciation that we saw 5-6 years ago. We're also not seeing the 40% depreciation that other places across the county are. We're starting to feel some of those effects, mainly through when people move into our community, of having an issue with selling their house from where they're moving before they can purchase here. So we are starting to see some of that. Overall, I don't think we're going to be making many changes, but there may be some pocket areas that will see a decrease, and there may be some areas that will see an increase as well.
Mike Hattery, thank you.
Thank you.
I apologize for being late. I just had a quick question. Is there any major part of the state regulatory framework for you that, if it changed, would reduce your administrative or operating burden, like if STAR went away?
If there were no real property tax exemptions, then, you know, that would be a, you know, 2.5-time position. You know, STAR, through technology, through the databases, through scannable exemptions, we've been able to minimize the effect of that exemption. But we did lose the STAR reimbursement for this current year and future years. The state used to pay, I think, $1 per STAR exemption, and we've lost that funding.
Thanks. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Valerie?
Thank you.
Jay? Next on the agenda is Soil and Water Conservation District. Rick, do you have a?
No.
You're not doing one. Would you mind coming up here and sitting at this?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, please do. All I would ask you to do is say your first and last name and what they have.
Craig Scott from the Soil and Water Conservation District. I just want to start out by saying that I would like to begin by apologizing for not preparing something for all of you in advance. Most of my time last week was consumed with efforts to secure the state EPF funds for the Carolines Stream Restoration Aquifer Protection Project, a project that without state commitment stands to lose a significant amount of federal funding, and without both funding sources, a project that just can't happen. There'll be no project. I'm sure many of you saw the article last week in the Ithaca Journal concerning that. Following that and the letter to the governor's office, my time was filled with returning phone calls, emails, and everything else, but it all culminated with a call from the governor's office on Friday, a time which I was assured everything, not only with this particular contract and project, was moving along rapidly, but the same is the case for our other outstanding contracts So at this time, I am cautiously optimistic that our contracts will be executed in the very near future and funds will begin to be allocated. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Senator Seward's office and his efforts in this process. He and his staff, I believe, were very instrumental in making this happen as fast as it did. They were very helpful. So anyway, we'll move on to the budget now. We've asked for no increase this year. We've taken the 6.25% reduction as asked by the legislature and the county administrator. To absorb this decrease, we're reevaluating our fees for service. Likely we'll increase some of those. Developing a couple of new fee-related programs. We just had our fall tree, rain barrel, and barley straw sale last week, which was very successful. We've actually sold about 30 rain barrels already. It's been pretty amazing. With that, we continue our regular ag programs and projects, AEM, and implementation of best management practices. Although, because of the economic conditions faced by our dairy farms right now, many of them are implementing their best management practices for this year. They simply don't have their share of the funding right now. But we've been proactive and requested extensions on all our open ag grants to secure that funding for them. Something else that we may have to start charging for is hydroseeding road ditches for our municipalities. We have grant funds to purchase materials, and we've been doing the work at no charge to the municipalities, and some for county highway as well. I really don't want to have to start charging them, because I'm afraid with their budgets there's going to be a problem that they won't do it because they aren't necessarily required, but it's something we're going to have to look at. We've also done some for New York State DOT under a contract for fee this year. And with working with the municipalities the way we do get some shared services from them at times. When we need something, it's very easy to go to them. For instance, we put in two rain gardens as demonstrations up in front of our office. Town of Enfield, we've done a huge amount of hydroseeding for them this year, and they never have participated in the past. They supplied us with the gravel that we needed. Cuga Heights has used the hydroseeder. We had to take down a dead tree out in the hedge by our office. We needed the stump removed so we could put the rain garden in there. Cuga Heights came up and yanked the stump out for us. Kind of as a, you know, we do for them, they do for us. So, and we seem to be able to do more of those things. So we really have to evaluate that. And some of the times we're able to get them to assist with some of the flood hazard mitigation programs to the highway departments. So we do have a very nice stream project just finishing up in Newfield that we worked with County Highway on. County Highway had replaced a large culvert and in the process needed to do some stream work to protect that. We had been called similar at the same time for assistance by a landowner just downstream from there, her home was being threatened by the stream migrating, and there was a lot of erosion there. We met with County Highway and DEC at the site and came up with a plan. County Highway said it could do the work while it had the equipment in the area. We were able to acquire funds from the Upper Susquehanna Coalition for the materials. Some of my staff completed the survey, drew the plan, and this past week work began. The stream project is now complete. It's a really nice project. All we need to do is go down and hydroseed the bare areas this week. We continue to expand our roles with Stormwater Phase 2 because we have a certified professional in erosion sediment control on staff. We're able to play a vital role in the program. We have provided required contractor training. We did that in the spring. We had about 85 participants. We are planning another one for either late fall or early winter. Our staff person is also planning a stormwater training for realtors. We've come to hear from other counties that that's been a real popular one. So that's already on the schedule, I think November 4th or 6th, he told me today. They have that scheduled for. We continue to provide assistance to the Stormwater Coalition, and we believe the district is well positioned to assist the county more than we currently do if it so desires. The LIDAR, that I know you've all heard about from time to time. The QAQC is completed on that, which the planning department paid for out of their budget. The data is certified now for flood mapping. I contacted New York State DEC, and they're starting the process to start working on the flood mapping. Hopefully in 2010 that will be done. Just a reminder, we have a tire collection day this Saturday at the Lansing Town Highway Barn. Lansing Highway Department will transport the tires to the recycler. And in closing, I just want to thank the legislature for your continued support, and thank you for supporting the office move to 1771 Hanshaw Road. It has been an excellent move for us and has given us greater flexibility in our programs. So please, all of you, stop in anytime, visit, and if you have any questions about anything we're working on, please call or come up.
Pam.
Yeah, I just wanted you to tell, PDEQ, you told us there was some very large percent, something like 78%.
72%.
72% of the money that you were owed.
Last year, out of our budget, was
state
money.
Could you just say what, they say that to everybody about how you've been having to function?
Well, yeah, last year we ran over $1 million budget. 72% of that was state funding. So we've had to be pretty careful how we function. We have received some of our ag money.
They hadn't paid you, but they didn't reimburse you for that money, right? But isn't that what that one?
No, that money, that was okay. Money we had last year.
Okay.
But this year, money has been very slow coming out of the state. We have received some of our soil and water money. I think recently we've received like three payments for different things. Okay. If these grants move forward the way it looks like they're gonna save our lives.
Well, I just feel like he has been working under a tremendous pressure because he hasn't had the money be reimbursed and has managed, from what he was even describing, to get an awful lot done. And I really appreciate the fact that you have been so ingenious in getting stuff done. Thanks.
Any other questions? Carol, your note, Dooley, Mike, and Mark.
I'm just trying to understand the two, is it four staff members or two staff members? You describe.
Well, two staff members out of the money that the county gives us, it helps pay my salary and the secretary's salary, basically. The other staff members, most of it comes out of grant funding or AEM funding from the state. Luckily, we just got our payment for that recently. Those kinds of things. Different programs. Some federal funding too.
Okay. I'm just trying to get more of a sense of sort of where our funding fits into your bigger picture and how big the staff is in addition to what we fund.
There's right now, there's six of us full-time with the secretary.
Dooley, and then Will, and then Mark.
Craig, in dollars, how much did the 6.25% cut amount to?
It was $7,000, I believe. Yeah. $7,065 or $7,000. It was just a little between $7,000 and $8,000.
As with all non-departmental parts of our budget, we often aren't told how big staff is, how big your total budget is, and so forth. And you've talked in very round numbers, $1 million, but is there, what share of your budget is our money?
Well, our budget was just over $1 million last year, and county money was $113,000.
Okay, that's what I see in here.
Yeah.
Having nothing to do with the budget, how is your new location working? Are you getting every bit as much traffic as you got before?
Oh, yes. And people are, once people come there, they're saying how much easier it is to find us, how much they like coming there.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, traffic has been very good there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
relative to the change, looking back, I see that the rent used to be listed as zero. Presumably, we didn't actually have no rent, but it wasn't.
And that's a nice. I mean, the legislature put it in. It's my understanding for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Last year, when we did the move, so.
So, but we're cutting you. So, how are you accommodating that cut? I guess.
Well, the cut is off our target. The rent is still in there because it had been a 3 year.
But the 6.25
is off what our target was
right.
Last year.
It didn't affect it.
The rent was a separate line item.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Martha.
Thank you. Have you had any conversations with town officials yet about, what if we charged you for hydroseeding? And, you know.
I haven't, but I think I'm going to have to approach them on that.
Well, okay. You just did.
If they're listening.
Okay. Any other questions for Craig? Thank you very much, Craig.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Board of Elections, page 67 in the big book and page 11 in the OPR. And here we are. I would just ask you both to say your first and last name and what department you're in. All right.
We're the two commissioners from the Board of Elections. I'm Elizabeth Cree.
And I'm Steve DeWitt. We have a PowerPoint presentation here, our budget. Major services we provide are conducting elections throughout the county. This includes poll site managing, training of election workers, meeting with the community. We assist candidates both in the campaign finance responsibilities that they have as candidates and also give them hopefully everything they need to know in order to run for office. We are very involved in voter registration, absentee voting, both for people who are just out of town temporarily and for permanently disabled people that want to vote by absentee. And we do a lot of voter outreach. We maintain all the voting equipment. Much of it's brand new now. That includes quarterly maintenance, which is mandated by the state. We'll be creating the ballots for each election and reporting to the State Board of Elections of all the activities performed by our board. This is a graph showing how our expenses have gone over the last 4 or 5 year period there. And the spike in 2008 is the presidential election year when we have three elections to run. And we have additional staff every time we have a presidential election year. And but also, there's some of that is reflected by the fact that we are taking over more and more of the financial responsibilities from the municipalities for running elections, and also the work responsibilities.
We've had a lot of accomplishments this year. We're glad to share them with you. We created a project management tool for the execution of all elections. We have so many new tasks that we had to have some kind of program that would alert us to each step that we needed to do to create the election. We also created CAD drawings of all the poll sites so we have better voter flow. We created and reorganized our office tasks and new manuals, trainings, any type of system that needed to go with the new voting machine, and the whole inspector duties have changed for the new voting machines.
Pressure points in 2010 is going to be, it's the second busiest year in the election, the four-year election cycle. In addition to the countywide offices next year, which will be county clerk and sheriff, You have many statewide races, governor, we have Congress in every congressional district. We have two districts that touch Tompkins County. U.S. Senate's going to have two races next year. You have your state assembly race, and also, which is one district, but you have three state senate districts that touch Tompkins County and will be next year. In addition to that, we'll have five village races, plus we are ongoing assisting to school and fire districts for the elections that they run. And doing all this with next year is going to be brand new voting equipment across the board, the lever machines that voters have been used to over the years will be gone next year. And that requires much more training and demonstrations and voter education, and it puts a heavy strain on our staffing resources.
Just this year, in the next month, we'll be doing 22 different trainings in different categories for all the different workers.
This is our graph of our budget, what we requested in Target and OTRs, and what the county administrator has approved so far.
So we had to, of course, take in significant reductions for our budget. And one of the main things that we put out there for you guys to look at is our primary elections. And the reason why, normally we are always budget for all our elections, but a primary election's a little different because we never know how many races are going to have a primary. And we never know that until, pretty much August of the following year. So what we're saying is possibly what we could do is look at that cost once we know what it is. The only problem is that next year we anticipate full statewide primary, so we could have a full-blown primary next year. We decreased our training for inspectors. Luckily, we do have some training money because we're developing the new machines, and that was decreased by $10,000 that we're going to fill in with the grant money. Our machine technicians, which we didn't want to do, but we had to in order to meet the budget constraints, we've cut them by a 0.5 halftime position. We're going to try and reorganize the staff so that they do the duties in the first 6 months and then have the machine technicians work the last 6 months when we're rolling out the new machines. And then, of course, we have a small budget, so we have no equipment replacement, and we zeroed out our repairs as well.
Here you have the OTR request. In the Target, there's a $5,000. $5,000 is for a brand new item that is mandated by the state election law with a new equipment, which is to audit the new machines to make sure that we will tabulate every ballot by hand just to make sure that the machine is tabulating the way it's supposed to. And then we have the funds for moving these machines and paying election inspectors for the primary is the one that has not been approved. The county administrator is recommending that going to contingency. And then the one time is the funding for senior voting machine technicians. And here we made a real calculated guess here that we're going to be able to get along, do a good job with the reduction here, but we're going to give it a good shot because we need to.
Also, let's see, okay.
I'm sorry, what?
So the loss of the senior technicians, if they were not approved, would make it very difficult for us to be in compliance, obviously, with federal and state election law. Voter education and outreach would be eliminated because staff already has their full-time duties plus the extra amount of the new voting machine duties. We would be quite worried about voter confidence, obviously, and certification has to happen at the same time as the audit happens when we are certifying the election, so we're not sure that we could complete all the duties that are required. And then again, we have to have primaries, but maybe they could be funded in a different way.
Questions? Willa Martin.
Well, we already have announced candidates for that primary, so it seems short-sighted to not fund it up front. Simple comment.
Go ahead, Martha.
I'm confused a little bit about the one-time request and funding for the senior voting machine technicians to set up and program the equipment. Wouldn't that be an ongoing?
I would anticipate that it probably will be ongoing. We are finding right now that this year they were approved for three-quarter time, and we're only doing a pilot project in the city, and we've got them working, lots of tasks. We're changing a lot of our training and voter education stuff to...
We're requesting it to one time because we don't know how much we need them yet. Eventually, we may not need them three-quarters time or half-time. We may need them more on a lesser amount. So we figured until we could determine that.
Okay.
They will be needed on some level.
So it's not literally a one-time expense that you won't have to do again.
Right.
It's that I suppose it was easier to get one-time money or whatever that there's that you can't tell what the ongoing level of staff it would have to be.
Exactly.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Dooley.
Yes. Excuse me. The senior technicians, you will certainly need them to some extent, always. Can you give us a best guess of what the minimum might be that you would need, like half-time or quarter-time, so that we might consider adding that amount to the target and making the balance one-time?
I would say the level that is in our OTR, which is one full-time equivalent total, well, half a full-time equivalent for each party.
Is the minimum that you've seen for the future?
Right now, that's what I would say, yes.
But what you're asking for now is twice that?
No, just slightly more than that, I believe, right? Just slightly more than that. I think it's like 1.1 or 1.15. Full-time equivalent, because we have some voting machine technicians which are very, very minimal. They just come in when we are actually setting the machines up.
In our presentation, we missed it. We showed you our open project that we've been working on, all the different tasks, and I don't know where it went, but we were going to tell you when we first put all the tasks in. We wanted to let you know that election day has been changed to November 29th in order with our resources to match up what we could do. But that's the problem, is everything is due all at the same time. So we can't be there, and that's why we really feel for the last 6 months we really need full-time help, which is split between the two parties, so it's a half-time position each.
Mike Hatter.
Who pays for village elections?
Villages.
Okay, so you get reimbursed?
Yes.
Does it cover the full cost?
Not our time or anything like that. It covers, like, legal ads, and they pay the inspectors, but we pay the technicians. And that's just a...
And they pay the machine set up.
And that's all set up by law. I'm not sure why we don't pay the inspectors, too, and get reimbursed, but that's just the way they set it up.
Any guess on this has come up before in a village I'm familiar with. Is there any sense that you have that there'd be any significant savings if they went to the general election? There would be significant savings.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And it wouldn't be difficult to get additional lines on the ballot.
No, as long as the village is fully contained within the district, we can do it.
Yeah, we may have to modify the borders of election district or two.
Yeah,
I mean, you can do it, but they have to make the decision that they want to run the elections then.
Yeah. I mean, the county...
Because then you don't have to pay the inspector because they're already sitting there. The technicians are already setting up the machine, so, you know, it's a really duplicate of services.
Villages aren't currently paying full cost.
Right.
Carol?
Yeah, this may be a question for the county administrator that may have to wait until he's back. Will's point about the primary elections is well taken, but it would seem to me that that's a base activity that, you know, we don't have the option to say, well, sorry, we don't have, you know, we just, you can't have a primary or you can't have an election or we have to move the dates because we don't have it in our budget or we have to fund it separately as contingency. So it would, I guess I'm interested in the thinking of the county administrator. And if we had to come back to you and say, sorry, there isn't contingent funds, I assume you'd have to trim somewhere else. Where would that come from? And for the county administrator's office, it's really sort of what was your thinking in not recommending that?
May I answer for the county administrator's office? We'll get back to you on that one. I mean, seriously, I don't know. It's kind of a, what we call it.
And I think there was going to be an answer here.
Well, it would have to come in staff. It would have to come in staff. And as I explained, and we're explaining that the resources have to match the duties. So.
Any other questions for BOE? Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Can I ask a non-budget question? What happened? Diebold is being sold to ESSE?
Yeah, and Sequoia was bought by Dominion. So our machines...
So there's going to be almost a monopoly on machines. Should you be telling us about that and asking us to pass a resolution or lobby about it? It's the principle that worries me. Come to G Power with something.
Welcome. Please say your first and last name in the mic and what department you are, and you're up.
Ed Marks, Planning Department.
Joan Jerkowich, Planning Department.
Okay. Good to see you all this evening. We can move right into our presentation. There we go. As you know, I think you're all pretty familiar with what we do. Our primary focus is on the county comprehensive plan and its implementation. And as you know, when the plan was adopted, there were 62 or three action items associated with that we've been working on over the last 5 years. Some of the more notable focuses of our efforts have been in affordable housing, the first-time home ownership program, which has been administered out of the Planning Department in association with Better Housing for Tompkins County for many, many years. And the more recent and emerging community housing fund that's getting ready to get launched officially this fall. Under natural resource protection, two of our major efforts have been in the reinstated flood hazard mitigation program and the associated stream corridor protection grant we received from the New York State DEC, and also ongoing and increasingly successful, I think, efforts in the agricultural land preservation purchase of development rights program, which is very important to local communities that we partner with, and particularly the farmers who benefit from it. The most recent major new activity was the addition of the energy and greenhouse gas emissions element to the county comprehensive plan, and we're now in the process of working on the first five-year implementation plan associated with that, as well as a number of the other actions that were adopted by the legislature when that was added to the comprehensive plan. And, of course, the planning department often is asked to be in the leadership role in responding to emerging issues. Early in the year, we worked a lot on the economic stimulus with administration and others. And obviously, natural gas drilling is ongoing, and we expect that to really get ramped up here very shortly when the DEC releases the supplemental draft environmental impact statement, which we anticipate any time. So that's some of the things. There are many others, and we do an annual work program and an annual report that details all that pretty well, and I think you've all seen those. In terms of staffing levels, we will be down this year in FTEs. That's made up from several components, reduced hours to several staffs, anticipated sharing of some staff resources with others, and reduction and basically elimination of project assistance positions from the department. Appropriation revenues, you can see, I think our budget was simply rising with cost of fringes pretty much in those and salaries in those 4 years leading up to this year, and taking a significant drop in 2010. Some of the things this year, we successfully worked with the town of Ithaca, town of Ulysses, city of Ithaca, and the IGCTC, TCAT, and others to complete the Route 96 corridor management study. And although some may think about the controversy associated with some of the issues on development on West Hill, this is really a landmark effort for cooperative intermunicipal planning in the county, and I think it's an important one. Obviously, establishing the community housing fund between the county, Cornell, the city of Ithaca is another very significant landmark action for this community, I think, in terms of addressing the housing needs in the community. The energy and greenhouse gas emission plan implementation efforts that we're working on now, the more we get into it, the more the urgency of action now seems apparent to us, and you'll see more on that as we move forward. This is the fifth year anniversary of the adoption of the comprehensive plan, so we are looking at the review of the success, the issues that we've identified in the process of trying to implement the recommendations there, and we'll be reporting out on that. And then, as I mentioned earlier, is one of our key areas, the agricultural purchase development rights implementation. That's moving forward on several different farms in association with both the towns of Lansing and towns of Dryden. Our budget, we did not request any over targets, understanding the serious nature of the problem the county faces. To meet the reduction, which for us was somewhere in around 9-10%, once you took into effect the fringes, the actual things we had control over, we had to do some significant changes in the way we will be doing business in the next year. Planning studies, I think this has reduced almost 60% funding, something in that range, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe 70, close to 70% of the funds that we would use for hiring project assistants, interns, and sometimes the consultants will be not there. Advisory board support, what we've done is, I know you're all aware of this, we have not proposed including the contract with Cooperative Extension for Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board. There was really no way we could see to support that in the budget we had. And trying to equalize the resources for all of the advisory boards at a level that we think we can sustain reasonably, and we've been working closely with most of those boards in the last month or so to figure out exactly how that will work for each. Things that are not core activities, things that we've taken on in the past, we are going to have to virtually eliminate. We're trying to look at ways that others might be able to do more and make us help, allow us to continue at some very minimal level, but things like the snowmobile trail grant program, we cannot do all the work for that under this budget. If it's going to go forward at all, it'll have to be with work from others. We've over the last several years been trying to shift our resources to focusing on the things that we do best and where possible reinforce what other agencies are doing in areas that they have primary responsibility for. So we have decreased and we envision continuing to decrease our efforts on traditional economic development areas that TCAD is typically the lead on, and transportation planning, which the ITCTC is the primary agency for in the county. And I believe that's the presentation.
Thank you, Ed. Pam, Mike?
Ed, I was just wondering, I was going to go back to the advisory board support. I know that the advisory boards are obviously pretty concerned about that. And I was just wondering if you had finished your discussions with them and where you were, and if there's a monetary value that could be put on that reduction.
Yes, we have. The only board that we really haven't pursued in earnest yet, quite honestly, is the Farmland Protection Board, just awaiting whatever decision the legislature makes on that funding. Then we'll sit down with them if that's still relevant and go over how we can work with them to meet their needs. Joan has met with the executive committees of the Water Resource Council and the EMC, and we've crafted a way to allocate resources that meets what they see as their primary need. It's not the same for each of those organizations. The Planning Advisory Board, we had pretty much started down decreasing some of the level of support needed. That board's been moving toward a fewer number of meetings per year in the last 2 years. So many of those savings kind of already have been realized. So that's kind of where we stand. In terms of dollars, I think, Joan, we have a sense of what the dollars are that we're allocating roughly to each.
We're going about it right now as what's in the budget is basically $1,000 in expenses for each of the four advisory boards, plus the equivalent, it's a little different board by board, of around 60 to 65 hours a year in terms of administrative staff support to those boards.
You mean that's the amount that's being reduced? Or
No, that's the amount that's in the budget proposal.
Right.
And that amounts to, the cash is a slight reduction. Most of them had cash budgets in the $1,100, $1,200 range. The staffing is about a 40% reduction in planning department staff. Now, the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board's another creature. To this point, we've been funding that through a contract with Cooperative Extension. We would no longer continue that $18,000 contract. Instead, we would absorb that work into the department, again, at basically the same level that, so 60 to 65 hours with $1,000 in cash available for out-of-pocket expenses for the boards, for the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board. So that's what's included. So it's and I have no idea of how to estimate what the reduction is for the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board, because that budget includes things that are not really administrative support for the board. So,
Mike Cavan.
Two things. One's kind of a follow-up on what you're just talking about. The way you articulated the impact on the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board, it sounded like we're going to internalize that with the same level of effort, or is that overstated?
With the same level of effort that the Environmental Management Council, the Water Resources Council, and the Planning Advisory Board will have.
But not the same level of effort as the Agriculture and Farmland Protection Board has become accustomed to.
Honestly, I don't know, because that money is used, it's my understanding Cooperative Extension uses that money to fund a half-time staff person, but they also work not just administrative support for the Agriculture and Environment Protection Board, but other program areas. I really don't have any way to quantify the change. No doubt it will be a reduction.
But so it's hard to say.
I don't have a way to quantify.
What kind of impact? I asked Ken Schlatter about this, and he said this wouldn't jeopardize our ag districts, but updating ag districts would become problematic, that kind of thing?
No. Up to this point, every time there's been an ag district update, there has been a separate contract with Cooperative Extension to do that work. It has not been included in that $18,000. So presumably we would go about it the same way.
My other question was, in your accomplishments, you talked about the PDR program. Is there continuing state money for additional PDRs?
Yes. We expect they're supposed to be announcing another round this fall sometime.
I was, you know, a little bit involved with one of those in Dryden. At the time, we were kicking around how many FTEs it takes to pull off one of these, and I thought it was about a quarter. Is that overestimating?
Probably not, no.
Seems like
over a period of year. I mean, these things go, typically post-award is about a two-year process to get to finalizing the contract, the purchase.
I thought I saw Dooley and did you have any? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Dooley.
Well, ICLEI is now in your budget, the ICLEI membership, and I wondered why that got transferred.
I'll restate it if you like.
Thank you, please.
Dooley has noticed that the ICLEI dues are now appearing in our budget for the first time. What has happened in previous years is no one has budgeted them, and they have been dealt with as a special request every year, taking the money out of contingency funds. We decided to bite the bullet and just put it in our budget this year. It seemed easier than having to continue that process.
Since it's the county that has membership, it seemed as though it should be in the legislative budget. To me, if it were going to go anywhere, that's why I asked.
I wouldn't disagree with that, other than the fact it hadn't happened, and it seemed just easier to deal with it realistically.
Okay. The answer you gave to, I think it was Pam's question for monetary value of the advisory board support, I didn't quite get it clearly, but let me first say that although the planning advisory board is mostly advisory to the commissioner, the other two are advisory to the legislature. And so as a legislator, I have particular interest in having them get the support they need so they can be maximally useful for us. So I really would like to know the dollar equivalent that has been reduced from them. And if you can't give it now, just please do.
Get you some
money.
Okay. I probably will not be able to do that for the Agriculture and Environment Protection Board just because I don't
have
those.
I'm not asking you to do it for them.
Okay.
Martha.
Thank you. I guess another way to ask a similar question about the staffing is that when you look at the roster on the white book, page 280, administrative assistant category has been two FTEs for 3 years, and then for 2010 it goes down to 1.83.
Yeah.
So it seems like that's the cut, really, that we're talking about reducing administrative support to boards?
Planners are down, too.
It's a large portion of it. I will note that that number reflects the anticipated sharing of staff resources would not begin till middle of the year, so that presumably in future years out, that number will actually drop additionally.
Okay. Do you have a dollar figure on what it is to restore that to two?
I can get that for you.
Okay.
If there's enough questions, I can scribble the numbers in the margin and do it now.
Okay, thank you. And so let me, that would be one question. And now I'm trying to understand the Cooperative Extension Ag and Farmland Board question, because this sounds a little different from what I remember at the committee when we talked about it. So you're proposing that you won't have a contract, and I see that on page 284. You won't have a contract with Cooperative Extension.
Correct.
That's 18,000. There's a contract that shows previous years. And your staff, somebody in your office, will staff that board? Is that what you're saying?
We will staff them administratively to the extent of allowing that board to have their meetings, have agendas, have some kind of minutes. Again, we will talk with them about what's most important to their functioning. But we believe that they will be able to carry out all of their responsibilities under state law with this support.
Okay. So you'll provide, previously they had two people working with that board, and you're saying that this money supported one of them. And
right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there are the members of the board that represent agencies. We have a staff, we have a member on the board. Planning Department, Cooperative Extension has a member on the board. There are others that are members of the board. As in many of these boards, when there is a program, project, or activity that's related to that agency's or department's functions, they often take a significant role in helping that happen. I don't think it's necessarily any different with them. We do most of the work for PDR, which is one of the primary purposes of an Ag and Farmland Protection Board. It's done in the planning department, as it right now. I'm sure we spend much more time probably on PDR than this administrative cost that we're talking about. So it is, there's many activities related to the Farmland Protection Board that are ongoing and will not be impacted by this change. There are other things that are being done by the person that gets paid for with those funds that may be, but we aren't the ones that are probably in the best position to tell you what those would be.
Thank you.
Carol.
It would seem to me that I'll admit my bias as a planner. In an era in which we're needing to reduce long-term, it would seem to me that there's a greater need for planning studies to figure out how we're going to do that. So that's just one comment I'll make. And then, so that in terms of policy, in terms of what it is we're going to ask you to spend your time on, that we need to take that into account. And then it would also seem that in an era in which we need to reduce that one way to do that is to make greater use of volunteers and to help them be more effective in what they're doing. I would see deciding not to do that, not to staff that at the same level, as a real change in policy of the legislature to be coming forward.
Excuse me, but so do you have a question?
My question is, if that is a policy decision that we feel that we need to make in terms of staffing our volunteers on all these boards, obviously we would have to come back to you and say, where else can we get this? So that's my question to you is of your plan of work coming up for 2010, what other policy decisions can we make? What would be alternatives that we can make?
I think it's important to understand this is our assessment of the best way to meet the budget requirement. If somebody wants to add money to do something beyond what we say we're going to do, that's the legislature's decision, in my opinion. As department head, I can tell you right now, if this is the budget we got, this is what we're going to do. And I believe this will not in any way affect the ability of these boards to do what the charter says they are supposed to do. There's nothing that we're doing that will not allow them to advise you.
Will and then Mike. Thanks for that answer.
At the risk of harping, first of all, I appreciate the department's restraint in bringing us budget, not asking for the over target. I am concerned about the loss to our community of the support for these boards, which I think do serve a very, very valid function. And as this body's one of this body's representatives to the Water Resources Council, I'm a little familiar with the the proposals that have been worked out at the executive level and the changes that were going to be expected within that body. And one of those, for example, minutes would be no longer verbatim, but they would be action items or decisions. Maybe that's reasonable. Loss would be reports. A lot of what happens at the Water Resources Council are speakers coming to talk about pressing issues. And my understanding is there would no longer be any descriptions within the minutes or any lengthy descriptions as to what had been said. That's a loss. I guess my question is, you've looked at this and decided this was the way to go, but what do you see as the social cost and the social loss for that, or is there none? Is it all going to be picked up by volunteer energy?
Well, I guess the specific example you mentioned, one of the easiest ways to deal with that is ask presenters to share whatever prepared remarks or notes or presentations they have. Many times that's possible to. That's what happens at most conferences and other things you go to. Speakers are asked to prepare and leave notes or outlines or PowerPoints or whatever they have to share with people that couldn't be there. If it's good enough for organized conferences, I think it could be effectively used here as well. I think there's a lot of things we can do to overcome those perceived losses, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's not that there won't be some loss in loss of, you know, more detailed minutes, if that's what the board chooses. Now, we are in another case where the entity thinks the minutes are more important, we're going to be able to provide more detailed minutes. So it's a choice. It's not a requirement that those minutes be changed. It's a choice. And so, you know, it's kind of a choice between an annual report and some other services and having more detailed minutes. So that's part of it. So how many times do you meet a year could be another way of dealing with that. If there are fewer meetings, we can do more detailed meetings minutes for the meetings there are. There are many organizations that function very effectively without meeting every single month of the year. So there are many ways to approach this and still have an effective organization accomplishing what it is that you want them to do. I think it'll take some time working together to figure exactly what the right way of doing that is. But I know that, you know, from my past experience, not a lot of places send someone to take verbatim minutes at all of these kind of meetings around the state in these organizations.
Michael.
You've got a Community Science Institute dollar figure around $24.6. Is that a one-time expense or is that ongoing?
Next year would be a second of three-year funding that the legislature provided.
Thanks.
Dooley.
I just have to say that I don't see verbatim minutes anywhere. What you get that isn't done at the conferences you're referring to is the Q&A that follows after the speaker presents, because very often members of the advisory board have interesting, detailed, useful questions that the speaker has to respond to. That's what gets lost. And that's, I hope that EMC will continue to want that. It doesn't matter to me. What I miss from your not having OTRs is your sense of prioritization among the cuts you've made. Is that something you could possibly supply at this point?
I suppose we could. You know, we've outlined in the presentation the areas of the cuts we made. I think you could probably get an idea by the kind of the order they're in. The bottom ones are probably the lower priority. The top of that list is probably the higher priority. So that would be a rough idea, but we didn't try to put them in that exact order. So
maybe we could do that. If you could check that.
We could do that.
Because that's the other departments, we have something to go on. So thank you.
Thank you. If there are no other questions and no questions for Public Works, we'll take a break.
No one listening?
We're supposed to do public. I thought we were on there next.
Thank you very much.
Trying to really have it.
Oh, great. PWA is 46 in the white pages, and no OTR.
How are you?
No. It's like good, thank you. Please say your name and address. No, just your name and first and last. Right.
Carol Nelson, Public Works Administrator.
Thank you. We already have that.
Public Works Administration, I think folks understand what we do, but we really provide support, assistance, and with management of the four divisions, airport, facilities, highway, solid waste. We also represent public works in other settings, Cheryl, particularly in, for example, emergency management, other teams, interdepartmental, intermunicipal, where we are present, and Public Works Administration provides that presence. And just generally in terms of interfacing with you, with other municipal officials and other settings where public works needs to have a face rather than just the individual divisions. That's
pretty tough graphs.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. There's one and a half.
Yeah.
And that's us. You see it all right in front of you here. Looking at our budget, it's a pretty small number. Keep that in mind when you see the bars going up compared to many of the things you're looking at. But it was changed, you can see, to back in 2007 to where it's really comes jointly from the various divisions. So the cost of this is really reflected in the division budgets. Some of the highlights, and most of these Cheryl deserves the kudos for. The Alternative Fuels Consortium that worked together and was able to come up with a way to purchase and make available biodiesel in the county to multiple organizations and governments. The Green Fleet team and the policy you will be seeing coming forward very shortly for your consideration. A couple policies that are becoming even before that. I think they're on the docket of G-Power next meeting for dealing with facilities management, work environment policies. Again, as I mentioned before, Cheryl's then played a leadership role in the Emergency Management Committee for the county, working on many levels to bring our resources to bear in that planning process. Public Works plays a key role, but also beyond that, providing kind of a leadership role in that effort. And this year, we've been working to bring our assistant division managers into a management team that can focus on departmental and interdepartmental initiatives and build leadership qualities deeper into our organization. No OTRs. Again, the impacts really are reflected in the division budgets you'll be seeing shortly. Split between the divisions, two of the four are enterprises, so they don't affect the property tax rate directly. And again, it's basically one and a half FTEs is what it covers.
Michael.
So in 2010, it looks like your local share is almost zero because of the two enterprise units and the other two divisions that have reimbursement.
Well, it doesn't show as local share to Public Works Administration because all of our expenses covered by interdivisional revenues.
I see.
Yeah.
Martha?
Yes,
yeah,
I'm confused. Didn't you have to cut 6.25? And where is that? Where's that cut in here?
Again, because our target is really zero.
Okay.
There is no target for this per se. It's in the targets for the divisions.
Okay. And
they owe us money.
They owe us money. And I think somebody should ask you this every so often. How you doing on being halftime here and halftime there? Has that seemed
well,
to work out?
Well, when you can have the presentations right in one in an order right after the other, it works out just fine.
Well, how about the rest of the year? Now, how do you feel the balance? Do you think it's a reasonable balance?
I'd say that the time expenditure is pretty balanced between the two efforts, but it's a struggle sometimes to keep it that way. I know that, you know, probably, I was going to say people would like more of my time, maybe they would like less of my time. But at any rate, I try to maintain a balance and try to be responsive both to both divisions in an equal way. And that was kind of a criteria I set when I was willing to take this on, was that it couldn't be to the detriment of my role and responsibility of the planning department. And I mean, other than the fact you're recognizing it's a cut. I mean, it was a cut to the planning department at the time that, again, helped meet budgetary requirements then. So it's kind of part of the erosion over time of our capabilities. There's less you can do, but we're doing the best we can.
Okay. Thank you both.
Any other questions?
It would be very hard if it wasn't, you know, for Cheryl's efforts, that's for sure.
Oh, Dooley.
The American Public Works Association membership, is that in a single person's name?
Mine.
Yes, we don't have multiple memberships.
I wasn't sure how that organization worked, so
yep.
Only you can attend conferences.
Yeah, I distribute the information to the division managers. Some of the other division managers are members as well, so we share and communicate.
That's what I was wondering. It seems
yeah,
to me that some of them should be.
Some others.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Mike?
I just think one of the greatest hidden secrets of Tompkins County is our planning department in terms of particularly the comprehensive plan. So much is being accomplished. It's under the radar, but we're moving it forward. So both elegantly and expeditiously, I think we have a lot to be proud of here. And thank you both for your leadership.
Thank you. And one of the things I would say that has definitely happened, I think everybody would attest to this, is that there has been increasing levels of interaction, cooperation, and teamwork between planning department staff and public works staff. And it's very, very useful of many of the challenges we're facing in energy and other things of that nature.
Thank you for that comment, Mike. And Ed, any other questions for Martha?
Yeah, it's also sort of under the radar intermunicipal, you know, cooperation. That's really, you know, that's you're just doing it, you know, and no big fanfare and all that, but I think the municipalities appreciate it. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you both. We will take a 10 to 15 minute break, closer on the 10 minute side. Thank you. Go ahead.